Luke. Luke.
Ben?
You will listen to the Wampa's Lair podcast.
Podcast?
There you will hear your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, as they discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out. Oh, and watch out for Wampas.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 153, Top 5 Little Moments. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Poe Dameron to my Wedge Antilles, we have Carl LeClaire.
Man, so that makes me the best damn pilot in the galaxy.
According to Oscar Isaac.
According to Oscar Isaac, exactly. Jason, good to be back once again.
Yes.
We've been getting so many listeners as of late, I think in light of the trailer dropping. So,
yes.
Thanks to The Force Awakens, the Wampuzler is getting a little bit of love. Thank you, J.J. Abrams.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Clearly thinking about the little people like us.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Our numbers are at the highest they've ever been. And now, not that we do this podcast for numbers, but it's kind of awesome to see that there are more of you out there that want to get involved with the conversation that we like to try and start here in the Wampa's Lair.
So. Exactly, yeah. And it's always humbling to see that this many people want to listen to two dorks just talk Star Wars. I love it.
Right, right, because that's all we really are, is a bunch of little nerds sitting in our bedrooms.
Yeah, exactly.
With a microphone talking Star Wars.
It's the best thing in the whole wide world. Jeez.
Oh my gosh.
Hand me that toy over there. I'm just going to play the heck out of it. Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, anyway. Jason, real quick, before we get into our poll or our topic, just a quick side note. I watched Ex Machina over the weekend, which stars Domhnall Gleeson and Oscar Isaac. I just wanted to get a sense of their like, kind of who they were as actors.
Uh-huh.
They're phenomenal. It's a very dark movie. I don't know if it won any awards or not. It came out not that long ago. It's called Ex Machina. It's just
Ex Machina
or Machina. Yeah, I just called it Machina. Wow, jeez. Thanks.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't care. But it was a really good movie, and I would recommend anybody, if they're curious about these guys as actors, I would recommend checking this film out. It was really good. It's very dark, but there's a lot to it. It's a very artistic movie, I would describe it. But it was cool. It was really neat to see them, and Domhnall Gleeson's kind of the good guy in the movie, so it'll be interesting to see him now as a villain. So, but anyway, that's just a quick side note. And
nice.
In case you're wondering what we mean by top five little moments, this is not our favorite Ewok scenes or R2-D2 scenes.
Although they may feature.
Although they will feature if you know Jason Hunt.
That is true.
So I thought it'd just be fun to kind of talk about some of those little scenes in the films that probably don't get a lot of attention that we really like. Like, whether it's, for me, they're kind of like endearing scenes or just scenes that I kind of get a chuckle from, or just little things that I kind of like that we don't normally talk about. So that's kind of how I came up with mine. I think you kind of did something similar.
Yeah. Basically, mine were like little things that didn't necessarily need to be in the movie. Mm. You know, and they're generally, most of them are more visual. You know, it's like, we're going to take a look at and see what this is over here, or, you know, have this happen in this scene. You know, fun. Most of them are going to be fun little moments, and I'm like, I really like that moment, but it's not something else I would, you know, bring up in a conversation about the dark mysteries of the Force or something, you know.
Right, exactly. So at the end of the day, you're just going to have a fun little Star Wars show here about random stuff.
Yep, pretty much. But before we get into that, we do have a poll that we asked you guys to respond to. And boy, we got a lot of responses and a lot of varied responses to this poll. And the question we asked is, who are you most interested to see in The Force Awakens? And we got some really awesome responses, including two characters that I had to go look up on Wikipedia because they are not primary characters. So I'll jump right into that. Tied For sixth place, with one vote each, we have Sarko Plank, who is what's it called?
I have no idea because I don't know who the heck that is.
He's got an action figure.
Okay.
A scavenger. That was the word I was looking for.
Oh, okay.
He's a scavenger of sorts, and he's in one of the young adult novels, and apparently he's going to be in The Force Awakens because he has an action figure. Someone else gave a vote to Boba Fett, General Hux, and then Kalwan Emat, who is also another character from one of the young reader novels, or young reader or young adult novels. I forget which one, but that was Wikipedia helping me out. I have not actually read those. In fifth place with two votes was Luke Skywalker. Apparently, most people are just content to wait out the details of Luke's return to the galaxy. In fourth place with three votes each, we had Finn and Captain Phasma. In third place with four votes was Poe Dameron. Second place with five votes, Kylo Ren, and one of those was yours, Carl.
Yeah, this is kind of exactly how I expected the poll to go. Yeah.
Why'd you pick Kylo?
I mean, it was a toss-up between him and Rey, as it was for a lot of folks I know, reading people's comments. I think just at the end of the day, it's cool to have a mysterious villain that I think will get really well fleshed out. So I'm really excited to see if he is a solo Skywalker or something. Because again, we have no idea. And I'm really just curious about this Knights of Ren. Like, the Sith are so cool. Like, they're such a neat little order. You know, I mean, they're mm-hmm. such a huge part of the Star Wars lore. I'm really excited to see a new villainous cult to kind of, you know, latch onto in the Star Wars galaxy, because the Sith have been defeated, and I'm fine with that and happy about that. So I'm anxious to see who these Knights of Ren are and who specifically Kylo is. So I think that'll be cool.
Nice. And of course, in first place with seven votes was Rey, and my vote went there primarily because it looks like she's going to be one of, if not our primary lead in the movie, and I'm just really curious to see about that. There's all this mystery about who she is and, you know, who she might be related to. I'm pretty sure I know, but it would be nice to find out. And then, you know, just completely selfishly, she also gets to hang out with BB-8 a lot. And since I didn't want to just put BB-8 on the list and be the only vote for BB-8, I voted for Rey.
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody voted for BB-8. I mean, to get those random characters that probably most of us haven't heard of, you know, and not get BB-8, that's interesting. So
yeah, so I was this close to putting BB-8 on the list, but and folks over the podcast, my fingers are less than an inch apart. So anyway, but yeah, I'm really pleased with the response that we got. We had a ton of people chime in on this poll.
Yeah.
I think we'll have it.
Good. Sorry.
We'll have a matchup at the end of the episode. So stick around for that.
Yeah. I think people will do anything they can to get involved in the Force Awakens conversation at this point. You know, it's on the top of all of our radar.
Exactly.
So, I keep forgetting that Rogue One's even in production. I just don't care. Not like not flippantly, but I just want Force Awakens. And then when that's over, then I'll focus on Rogue One.
Yes.
Which again,
indeed.
Exciting time to be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, just a bit. okay. Well, why don't we jump into our topic?
Let's do it.
Because I know we don't have a lot of time tonight, but since they're little moments, I don't think it'll take up too much time.
Little moments takes a little time.
Exactly.
I'll let you kick it off. Yeah, do you have one honorable mention?
I do have one honorable mention.
With the Wampas Lair podcast, our surname should be the Wampas Lair podcast, an honorable mention. Because we
are
always
honorable mention among Star Wars podcasts. Yeah,
exactly. People are like, what's your favorite? What name your top three Star Wars podcasts? We'll be like, honorable mention, the Wampas Lair. Yes. And then everything else. Anyway, though, what is your honorable mention, Jason?
My honorable mention is going to be from Return of the Jedi, and it's going to be the sad Ewok death.
Oh, God.
I know. Oh, probably the saddest scene in all of Star Wars. maybe slide exaggeration.
Yeah.
But it is one of those little moments that it's like, it need to be in the movie. And second of all, it's so, like, I don't want to say heart-wrenching, but it is one of those things that sort of touches you, and you just go, oh, why did they have to show that? You know, yeah. It was one of those things that didn't need to be there, but I think it helped to, you know, increase the threat level of the Empire and actually let us know, yeah, hey, that this isn't just, you know, your ordinary, oh, the heroes sweep in and save the day and nobody gets out unscathed sort of thing, you know. We do have some casualties involved, so
yeah.
Don't worry. Most of my the rest of my list will not be this sad. Don't worry.
Jason's like, I'm going to take you to the most depressing point in Star Wars, the Star Wars saga, which is very uncharacteristically Jason. And then don't worry, right. You shall have chuckles from here on forth.
Yes.
No, that's a good one though. That was always a scene that like made me so sad. And when I actually, right on Force Friday, right before my girlfriend and I went to Toys R Us, she had the awesome idea of, let's watch a Star Wars movie. So we put in Return of the Jedi. And she was like, why did they have to show that? What, is he dead? I'm like, yeah, he dies. She's like, why did they put that in there? And it is. It's so sad. But, like, you know, it really does. It shows, I think, not only that there is a, you know, a serious threat from the Empire here, but, you know, the Ewoks lost something, too.
Right.
So yeah, that's what I like. You know, it shows that they there was a cost for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
and nobody wants to see their teddy bear die.
No.
Anyway,
let's go into something a little happier. What's your honorable mention, Carl?
Mine also deals with death. Well, I just think it's great. Isn't the right word because that sounds horrible. But when Han decides to stuff Luke into his tauntaun. I think that's a great little scene because, one, it shows Han's resourcefulness. You know, mm-hmm. like he's quick on his feet. I mean, I'm a Han Solo fan. Of course, I got to love something from Han. You know, it again, like, the Tauntaun dies, so he's like, oh, crap, there goes transportation. But it's like, all right, well, I'll try to hold out a little bit longer. And he still finds a value in the dead Tauntaun, and he stuffs Luke inside. And it's the only time we see, at least in the original trilogy, a non-Jedi use a lightsaber, which is
very true,
very cool.
Yes, and you're more than happy to tell everybody that that one individual was Han Solo.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's so great, like, how just, you know, how quick on his feet he is. That's what I really appreciate about that scene with Han. He never and he still, like, jokes around about things, you know. Oh, I thought they smelt bad on the outside, you know. I mean, it's so like characteristic of Han to just make light of this dire situation. So,
yep, there will be a special edition where after he says, I thought they smelled bad on the outside, Jar Jar will pop out of a snowbank and go, "Pizza."
And then when they roll into the base, he'll be there too. Hello, boys.
Hello, boys. But you won't be able to know it's Jar Jar because he's wrapped up in so many parkas, and he's even got, you know, never mind. I'm going to stop.
The snow doing murder to Misa's skin.
This, that was a freezing Misa skin. We have a Jar Jar-sicle.
Yeah. oh, boy.
Well, I guess I should do my number five then.
Do it up.
All right. My number five is going to be from The Revenge of the Sith. And this is going to be my one, like, deep little moment, if you want to call it deep. And this is going to be Anakin crying on Mustafar after he's killed all the Separatist leaders. Because he's already, you know, turned himself over to Palpatine and the Sith. He's already agreed to join Palpatine and do all this stuff. And this act of going in and just completely obliterating the entire Separatist Council, murdering everyone so that there are no witnesses, really just sort of hammers home to Anakin that he's made his bed and now he has to sleep in it. There is no turning back from this path. He can't get himself out of this. And I think that realization and that sort of death of innocence, if you will, really hits him hard. Because, you know, you and I, we talked a lot about how Phantom Menace is such an innocent movie and Anakin is so innocent there. And he's just sort of the awkward, gangly teenager for the most part in Attack of the Clones. He gets a bit darker in the Clone Wars and all this stuff. But really, ultimately, this is where his innocence finally dies in Revenge of the Sith, is this turning point of murdering the entire Separatist Council in cold blood, and there's no turning back from that for him. Yeah. So,
yeah, that's a good one. I've always liked that scene myself, mainly because of the music during that scene.
Oh, I love that music.
It's really intense. But yeah, I mean, I think that scene is, yeah, that's a really good scene because it does show kind of almost remorse, I guess, for what he's, you know, kind of done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think let's find this real quick. Right at the end here. There it is. It's so intense here. Jason and I just orchestrated that perfectly.
Yes, our orchestra, our in-house orchestra, had no problem following along with that.
Yeah, but that is I've always enjoyed that scene too, and it's funny because I think we have talked about it sometime long ago. It has been 4 years, Jason. Yeah, that scene always kind of confused me because I didn't understand. Hayden Christensen's very good at crying. That single tear, that's kind of his jam, and it's my jam too. But there's a few more than a single tear at this one. And it is. I think there is like this just sadness and remorse for what he's now done. I mean, it's his whole life is now in upheaval. Right. And all he's got really to live for is Padme at this point. That's it.
Yeah.
So,
and like you said, that music is really... really seals the deal on that scene.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that piece of music, I believe, ended up being my favorite piece when we did our favorite track from the Revenge of the Sith soundtrack poll. So I think that was my number one.
Anakin's so. Dark Deeds.
Yes. That sounds right.
Dirty Deeds don't do cheap.
If it wasn't my favorite, it should have been. So
I'm amending it now.
Yes. Retroactively amending. No, anyways.
No, that's a good one.
What's your number five?
Well, it's a similar evil one. This is from Phantom Menace. And it's that very brief scene where we have Darth Sidious and Darth Maul meet to discuss things right before Maul heads off to hunt down the Jedi and the Queen.
Move against the Jedi first. You would then have no difficulty in taking the Queen back to Naboo to sign the treaty.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
You have been well trained, my young apprentice. There will be no match for you.
And I always liked that scene so much because, first off, except for the obvious change in the special editions to Return of the Jedi's ending, it's the first time we really see Coruscant.
Right.
And we see it at night, and who are the first folks we meet on Coruscant? Evil folks.
The Sith.
The Sith. Exactly. And I just think it's a really poignant scene because... it kind of shows that Coruscant is in the hands of the Sith. You know, like, it's the capital of the galaxy, yet it belongs to the Sith. They're the ones secretly ruling things from the shadows. And it's a powerful scene, too, because it's very simple and there's not much to it. But, you know, it shows how there is this impending revenge of the Sith coming. Which I just think it's a really good scene because it's the only time we see Maul and Sidious interact personally. And it's just very interesting that this is the first time that there's going to be tumult in the galaxy again, you know, because, you know, as Sio Bibble said earlier in the film, you know, there hasn't been a full scale war since the formation of the Republic. Actually, that's from Attack of the Clones. Damn it.
Well, but still.
Yeah, but it's been a long time.
He retroactively enforces your point.
Exactly. So it's been a long time since there's been any real conflict. And now this scene kind of introduces us to where the conflict's going to come from. Who are the puppeteers behind all the evil on the rise?
And it is interesting that they're walking on a balcony.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's night, but still.
Right.
It's not like they're hiding in the bottom of a basement somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Evil Sith. Evil Sith.
Yeah, like when Dooku meets up with Sidious at the end of Attack of the Clones, they do it in like a secret, you know, hangar bay where nobody could see.
Right, but, in an abandoned part of the industrial sector.
But Maul and Sidious are right outside Palpatine's apartment or something, you know, because you can tell that that's the same balcony in the scenes where he's talking with Padme in there. So, or Queen Amidala, whatever.
It is in the same area, that is for sure. All right.
Numero
number four?
Four.
Four. All right. My number four is going to be a quick little interchange between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn from The Phantom Menace. This is after they have escaped the destroyer droids. And they jump down into the hangar of the Trade Federation battleship, and they're making their next move, and they're getting ready to split up and stow aboard separate ships and meet down on the planet. But you were right about one thing, Master. The negotiations were short. Obi-Wan has a sense of humor, folks. Oh, man. I love it. Because, you know, Obi-Wan is so intense in The Phantom Menace. And he doesn't really get a chance to really, you know, be that kind, you know, that kind of, you know, easygoing, you know, personality that we were first introduced to in A New Hope. And of course, we get a little bit more of Obi-Wan's more humorous side in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. But this is like the one little scene in Phantom Menace where Obi-Wan is actually, you know, cracking jokes. You know?
Yeah.
They just got shot at. You know, things are a whole lot worse than they should be right now. And he's making a quick joke about, well, you're right. The negotiations were short. I just love it for some reason because he gets this such mischievous grin on his face as he says it. And, you know, Qui-Gon looks, they have that shot of Qui-Gon looking over at him. And it's almost like you can just see Qui-Gon going, just sort of bracing himself for it. Like, okay, what's he got to do? Well,
yeah.
What is it this time? So I don't know. I just really love that little dialogue there, that little banter. And it's funny. And my dad is a punster, and that's close enough to a pun. So I love it. Anyway.
Yeah, I love that line too. And it's true, you know, because Obi-Wan, when we first meet him, you know, he pulls back the hood. You know,
I have a bad feeling about this.
It's not something about the mission, Master. It's something elsewhere. Elusive. You know, he is. He's just so intense and like predicting the future right off the bat. And now here we've, you know, after all this little battle goes on, he's able to make light of it and make a joke of it. And I think what's cool about that too is it also shows by making light of the situation, it kind of gives them a sense of, I feel like they were always in control of the situation. That even though they didn't accomplish what they were there to accomplish, they're still reacting and responding. And they kind of just know that they'll figure things out, you know? So making right. light of it rather than just being like, oh my gosh, but Master, we still haven't, you know, done what we were supposed to do. We need to stick around. But instead it's just kind of this calm response and like making light of the situation, which I think is really great. So, and it's funny too. It was really weird. Sometimes I mutter Star Wars lines to myself. It's really weird. Like, and it's like, I just do it like for no apparent reason. And one day I was downstairs in my living room, and I, like, my girlfriend and I were about to go out to dinner, and I didn't know she had come downstairs, and I'm just standing in the window, and I just like standing there, and I just go, you were right about one thing, Master. The negotiations were short. And she goes, she goes, what? And I was like, oh crap. I didn't know she was standing there. So now she says that to me all the time. She always was like, you're right about one thing, Master. The negotiation. I was like, okay, I got it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's really funny. And now she's always asking me to teach her other Star Wars lines. So I'm like, okay, I will.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I lucked out. But anyway,
you really did.
Yeah. So, but that's a good
thing. And I'm assuming you guys are gonna go see Force Awakens together, right?
Oh, but of course.
But of course. All right. It's your number four, or mm-hmm. number four, right?
It is my number four, and mine is somewhat similar to your number four in the sense that it is between a master and an apprentice. Mine comes from Attack of the Clones. And it's the very first scene where we see Anakin and Obi-Wan together. And they're riding the turbo lift up. I just find it really funny because, like, Anakin's, like, stressing out and, like, you know, like, you're sweating. Relax. I haven't seen her in 10 years, Master. Like, he's so intense about it. And Obi-Wan's just kind of making light of the situation, like, relax about it. It's going to be okay. And I like this scene, too, because it just, like, that banter between the two of them. While I've always been somewhat critical that Attack of the Clones doesn't do a great job fleshing out a relationship between the two of them, I think this scene is the best one, though, of their relationship. Mm-hmm. That, yes, there isn't a master-apprentice role, but at the same time, they can joke with each other, they can have fun. And also, though, you know, Anakin admitting that he's nervous about seeing a girl that he obviously is crushing on for a decade, creepy. You know, but he doesn't have any real qualms about opening up about that in front of Obi-Wan, which I think is interesting because it shows Anakin's trust of Obi-Wan. Which is interesting. And, you know, Obi-Wan, he's being patient with him, and he is. He's just giving him some very, you know, simple advice, like, hey, just relax, it'll be fine. And, you know, I haven't seen you this tense since we fell into that nest of Gundarks.
You fell into that mess, Master, and I rescued you.
Remember?
Oh. Yes. And then she has a little laugh, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. You're sweating. Relax. And then he does say, you haven't seen her in 10 years. Does Obi-Wan say anything to that? I don't think so.
No. That's by that time they get up to the top, and right. Jar Jar's there to greet them.
Yeah. But I just think it's like, it's a fun, light little moment, and it does. It kind of... You know, we have not seen these characters at all interact as a master and apprentice. And I think it's funny that the very first interaction we see is one of kind of, it's kind of lighthearted, but it shows the difference in their characters. Anakin's is kind of intense. He's almost like the Obi-Wan of the Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. And Obi-Wan does have a little bit of that Qui-Gon, like, you know, like, relax, don't stress so much. Mm-hmm. So I think it's interesting, that little dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's very clear that, you know, Qui-Gon's teachings have obviously rubbed off on Obi-Wan in his own masterhood, which again goes back to probably why Qui-Gon wanted Obi-Wan to train Anakin.
Exactly.
But anyway, yeah, that's my number four.
I do like that scene. That scene has always been funny to me. Yeah, obviously for many of the reasons we just talked about, but yeah, it is one of those, it's just one of those normal conversations. It's almost, you know, like either a dad or older brother, you know, taking the younger sibling to, you know, pick up his date at the prom or something, you know, it's really kind of funny like that. You know, it's, just relax, concentrate. It'll be right. Fine. You know, it's like, but no, it won't. Yeah. I'm so nervous. You know, that. I can't make any mistakes. This is going to be horrible, you know. And then, of course, Anakin sticks his foot in it, you know, a few minutes later when he says, you know, so if you grow more beautiful, I mean, well, for a senator, I mean, you know, just completely fumbles his smooth entrance.
Yeah. So. Slow down there, killer.
Anyway, but yeah, that's a good one. I like it. All right. My number three is going to come from A New Hope. And this takes place in the first 5 minutes of the movie. It is going to be R2-D2 and C-3PO racing across the hall in the middle of a firefight.
Yeah.
It's just, they could have gone around. They could have not even been on that side of the ship. You know, it's one of those things where, you didn't need to do that, but George Lucas is like, no, let's have the droids run across the hall. Yeah, that'll be good.
Faster, more intense.
Yes, faster, more. 3PO, I need you to pick it up. Faster, more intense. but it's just this funny little scene. They stop, they open the door, they stop, look both ways, and then they book it across the hallway just in the middle of a firefight, and nobody stops to let them pass. You know, the stormtroopers are still firing and the rebels are still firing, and it just, they get through unscathed, and it's great. I love that scene. It just cracks me up, and it just makes me go, and my characters are here. You know? R2 and 3PO are my favorites. So
yeah, that's a good one.
I like it.
It is. It's reckless, really.
Yes.
They're like our reckless little heroes in the midst of a battle. Mm-hmm. And
they're not even heroes. They're like the bumbling sidekicks too. It's just like, oh God, we got to get through, you know?
Yeah.
So
and how interesting that they don't get hit at all.
Right.
Neither side are much of marksmen, apparently.
No. The stormtroopers can't see a thing in those helmets and the rebels don't have much experience.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's a good one. I don't really have much to say to it because it's so.
There isn't much to say about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is good. Just,
I like that scene. Ha 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 ha.
That's a good one. I really like it. Yep.
Yep, it's a good one.
Let's
I think we're gonna leave that for the special edition.
Yeah. Okay. Let's make some changes. Actually, let's get more laser blasts in there. Make it look a little bit more fast and intense.
Right. We'll fast forward 3PO. So he runs past R2.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Yes.
It's like the tortoise and the hare. That's really what this is. It's a myth inside of a myth. Joseph Campbell never even saw it coming. Oh man. All right.
Why don't we go to your number three?
Yeah, well mine's gonna be similar in the sense that there's not much to say about it either. It's just I always get a chuckle out of this, and it's from The Empire Strikes Back. And it's when Han runs into the cockpit of the Falcon and Leia's yelling at him, you know, this bucket of bolts will never get past that blockade. And he turns on the engine and it just goes doo 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 doo. And then he whacks it, whoop, you know, when he whacks the hull of the ship. And it just, again, it's just, it reminds me of like that hot rod that you have that you kind of, you've had it for so long that you have this intimate knowledge of, even though it's a piece of machinery, you have like an intimate relationship with it to a certain degree. And you know how to hit it to start it right, or you know how to turn the key just right in that old car of yours, or you know, it's just I love that Han still has all this, but he still has all this faith in his little baby. And you know, this sweetheart she's still got a few surprises in her sweetheart, you know, and he drops down that really cool cannon.
Right.
But yeah, I always get a chuckle out of that, how we can just whack the thing and it comes back to life. And again, it shows just how, you know, intimate Han is with his ship. And it really is, it's, you know, that thing is more than just a means of transportation for Han, you know.
Yeah. It's also great because it's a really tense scene. You know, the rebels are fleeing from their base. They've just basically got everything situated. They're settled in, and all of a sudden the Empire is there. And we've had this, you know, really intense pitched battle at the beginning of the movie. And then all of a sudden Darth Vader's there and he's storming through the base with the snowtroopers, and he's on their trail specifically. And we know he's coming. You know, we keep cutting back to him with the various forms of the Imperial March playing very loudly as he storms through the halls with his cape billowing behind him, and it looks epic. And they're dashing up the ramp of the Falcon, and of course, it almost catches 3PO before he gets all the way up. And then we have this shot here of Han just taking a second. You know, he's in such a hurry. He turns it on. It doesn't work. And so he smacks the bulkhead in order to get it to work. And it's one of those things where they could have just completely foregone any of those, you know, little visual humor moments because it is such an intense scene. And I think if it was, you know, most filmmakers today wouldn't have done that. Because it's like, we have to have it intense and more intense, you know, that sort of thing. And no, George Lucas, Irving Kirshner were like, no, this is a good dark movie anyway. We need to have the humor where we can. And so Irving Kirshner's like, no, Solo, why don't you go ahead and hit the bulkhead there, you know. that's my horrible Irving Kirshner.
That's pretty good,
sorry.
Actually.
I hope it's good.
The late and great.
But yeah, no, it's great because it's like, we're going to take a quick second and we're going to actually, you know, put a little bit of humor here because the movie needs it. So,
yeah.
And it's so real world too, because I can't tell you the amount of times I've smacked the dashboard of my car when it starts making a funny noise, or when the computer starts freezing up, you start smacking the side of it to try and get it to cooperate, you know, that sort of thing. Especially when you used to have the big CPUs.
Yeah.
It's like, bam!
And right.
He always knew when someone was having problems with the computer.
Yep.
Bam!
Yeah, that was our TV growing up. You always had to smack the side of it, and because the picture would get grainy, and you smacked it a couple times and it would come back into focus. So
yeah, sounds
so we've all right. Yeah, that's true. You know, it does. It gives it that realistic element. You know. And also it does add to the tension because, you know, here's Leia crapping all over this thing. We know that something's wrong with it. And it makes it even more real when it's like, oh, geez, is this really going to be enough to get them out of there? Like, oh, crap.
So, right.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, what's your number two?
My number two is going to also be from Empire Strikes Back. And this is going to be earlier on in the movie where we've just had the interchange about Leia insulting Han about being a scruffy looking nerf herder. And she says, well, I guess you just don't know anything about women yet. It's not per se the kiss that she plants on Luke. It is C-3PO racing up from the background of the shot to get a good look at what's going on. 3PO doesn't actually need to have any interest in the intricacies of human interaction here.
Yeah.
But he's standing in the background. Leia comes over and plants a big one on Luke. And 3PO races up to peek over it's Han or Chewie's shoulder get a good look at what's going on. And it's that just is sort of the icing on the cake of the entire scene. The entire scene is funny. I love it. You know, just the interchange, especially between Han and Leia, and the fact that he gets offended at being scruffy and not a nerf herder.
Yeah.
And it's just the icing on the cake is 3PO going, what? You know, and coming up out of nowhere to get a good look at what's going on.
And they do such a great sound design element there too. You can hear his like servo motors run, you know, rushing as he goes forward.
Yeah.
And then like as he like looks over to Han and then back to the kiss, like he's really taking it all in. And which like why?
And why?
Sometimes I just don't understand human behavior.
Right.
You know, that's further evidence of it. I think there is a fascination for 3PO of like how the human characters interact because whenever they do something that shocks him, it's almost like he's trying to take that in though as like new information. Like, how do I compute this? How does this make sense?
Right.
So
why is this pertinent to the situation? You know.
Yeah. And he kind of, you know, it's very subtle. Like you know, as an audience, our eyes obviously go to this, you know, little romantic moment here. And, you know, for those that obviously originally seen the film that didn't know that they were related, you know, it furthers that tension of this love triangle between Han, Luke, and Leia. But now we also get to see 3PO, who's kind of like us as the audience, just kind of being shocked by this. Like, what is going on over here?
Right?
So, yeah.
I love it.
Though. That's a great one.
I love it. What's your number two?
Mine also comes from The Empire Strikes Back again.
I'm shocked.
I know. but it's this very little moment when, after Luke fails to raise his X-Wing out of the swamp, you know, and then Yoda gives that great little discourse on the Force and basically saying, you know, you have to feel it, you have to believe in it. And Luke stands up, and I love that shot of how tall he looks there, and Yoda looks so diminutive right in that shot. He says, you want the impossible, and Luke walks off. And then right as Luke is completely off camera, literally 2 second shot, but it's just Yoda, and his eyes just kind of look up. And now this is my complete interpretation, but this is why I love that little scene. As Yoda, to me, it's like Yoda looking up to the heavens for guidance. Like he's looking to the Force for guidance, and maybe even patience. Like, oh gosh, what do I have to do to get through to this kid? Right. Because while Yoda is clearly trying to teach Luke about patience and, you know, not rushing into things and being patient with this training, I think Yoda's also potentially a little bit there is a certain level of frustration. I wouldn't say impatience because there's a difference. But frustration at Luke's lack of belief. You know, like even earlier when he's giving that discourse, you must feel the Force. He, you know, and like he squeezes his hand together. Like he's really making a point there. There is like a little bit of frustration here. Like, you're not getting it. And when Luke, you know, says, you want the impossible and walks off, I just love that little shot. And it's just this really little Jedi master who we've, by the way, yet to see do anything that spectacular. You know, we've been told he's a Jedi master, but all we've heard him do so far is give like wise lessons. And he does. He kind of like looks up to the heavens. That's my reading of that scene. Sure, a lot of people are just like, no, that's not what's going on at all. But he kind of looks up to the heavens, and to me, it's like he's sending a prayer to the heavens. He's sending a prayer to the Force to just say, like, give me some guidance here. What should I do? And then immediately after is when he shows the impossible is possible to Luke. So I like that. Right. I like that it's, again, this is, again, I want to say this is purely my interpretation, not saying that I alone own it. Maybe others believe, you know, see it this way too, but it's like Luke, again, he fails because he doesn't believe in himself. Yoda tries to give him a firm grasp on what the Force really is and what it's capable of. Luke doesn't see it that way, storms off in his, you know, in his lack of belief and in his ignorance of it. And Yoda just looks for this guidance and clearly gets it, because then he raises the ship. He didn't have to, right? Like, he didn't have to raise it. He could have said to Luke, you're not going to leave here until you learn how to do this. But instead, he chooses that to be the moment when he makes a point.
Yeah. And it obviously has an impact on Luke, because, you know, he gets it after that, it seems like.
Yeah, exactly. His connection with the Force seems to increase then throughout the little bit of the training that we see up until he leaves.
Right. And I also like that shot you said, because Luke is not a tall person.
Right.
He is not a tall person. He's a very average height.
Yeah, he's shorter than Han.
Maybe even a little on the short side.
Right.
And yet the one shot of him standing up and telling Yoda, you asked the impossible, they have it framed so that he is taller than the shot, so that he's partially out of frame. And it really does give this very, it highlights how diminutive Yoda is. And obviously we've seen that he's small and that sort of thing earlier on in the movie, but it really just sort of reinforces, yes, he is small. He is this little character. And then we need to reinforce that visually,
yep,
right before we have him do something incredibly amazing.
Yeah, great point. Absolutely.
And yeah, that's the cinematography there of it all. And I do love his little glance to the heavens, like, give me the patience, give me the guidance, you know, help me to get through, look that he gives to the heavens, to the Force. So, you know, it's, it is a nice little moment. So,
yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So what's your number one?
Is that, well, it's from Attack of the Clones.
Excellent.
And it's turned out that my top three each features C-3PO, so I wonder what that says about me. but this is going to be in the smack dab in the middle of the arena battle, and it is Kit Fisto versus C-3PO in the arena. and I had to put it as my number one because this is what reinforced the fact that my favorite, you know, minor Jedi character is Kit Fisto. He has this great little interaction with C-3PO where he saves C-3PO from the battle droid he's connected to. And we get that awesome smile. I mean, who does that in movies like this? You know, epic, especially nowadays, they're all epic and gritty and everybody's screaming and yelling and there's blood everywhere. And no, Kit Fisto is, you know, going to chop down a droid, use the Force to push over the you know, mutant droid there in the middle of the arena, and then grin about it because he thinks it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and of course, you know, right before Kit Fisto jumps into the frame, 3PO's there firing away, and he yells, die, Jedi dogs! Oh, what did I say? You know, like, oh, what am I saying? This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not... You know, I'm not programmed for this. I program for etiquette, not destruction. all that fun stuff. But yeah, it is one of my favorite moments because obviously the arena battle is one of my favorite battles, period, in Star Wars. It is my favorite land battle in Star Wars. And to have that moment there smack dab in the middle of it, just, you know, while it's exciting and epic and amazing, just gives it that little bit of humor. You know, obviously we've had the other humor with Anakin and Padme about aggressive negotiations and all that fun stuff too. Just featuring a minor Jedi character like that for a quick moment And the fact that I already decided I thought he was a cool Jedi before I saw the movie because I had the action figure, I went, yes, I picked the right Jedi. But yeah, that's why it had to be my number one. So it just reinforced my favoritism towards Kit Fisto. Yes.
There's your mini bust. Right,
my Sideshow Collectibles mini bust.
Yes. Anyway. Well, you'll be happy then because my number one is all about C-3PO.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it's from Return of the Jedi. And it's while I've liberally called this a little moment, but it's a little bit more than a little moment. I'm going to play the clip real quick, Jason.
I think I know what it is.
Oh, I think you might, yes.
Randa Bo Tetwin, Korowe Manukutu, Princess Leia Wase Watma Atu, Us Batata Rondi, Darth Vader, and Chenko Vaskimo Kir Tumdi Death Star, Us Michi and Jedi, Obi Wan Kenobi, E Manamachu Vader Con Yumnum, Utape. Yes, R2, I was just coming to that. Toronto Gosh. Master Luke at Chimney Chudu. Uta Millennium Hawken at Chimney Cloud City. What's that? Nutch Vader. Han Solo. Tikalo Carbon. Kachna Gubu Salak. Oh. Kaunya.
So there you go. That's, to me, my favorite little moment in Star Wars. Now, granted, it's almost a minute long. It's not exactly a little moment. But, yeah, I mean, I love... To me, it's just such a beautiful and magical little scene in Star Wars.
It really is.
And, you know, for so many reasons. One, you have beautiful music. You have little hints of the themes from throughout the original trilogy. And, you know, you have 3PO who said in A New Hope, he's not much of a storyteller. Clearly he lied to Luke.
or completely underestimates his abilities.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, this is really just a retelling of our story at the end of the saga in a sense. Because again, you know, I think in 83, George Lucas probably didn't know if he was going to do it. And granted, I don't think he fit that scene in there because of it. But it's just like such a cute little way of retelling the story we've seen all along, and it follows the story of our heroes and where they've come to so far. And it's interesting too because 3PO just tells the honest story to these Ewoks, and he's so engaging in that story. You know, we see, you know, like the one, you know, explosion scene where, you know, all the Ewoks are like, wow, you know, and then Han Solo, Tiglo Carbon, and then Wicket's like purring on his leg, you know.
Right. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry for you.
Yeah, but like 3PO, again, he's telling the Ewoks and us, the audience, the story we've heard, even though he's speaking in a language we don't know and there are no subtitles, which I always loved that there were no subtitles, because we know the story just based on the music, the sound effects, and a few of the keywords. And I think that's so cool, like what it does for us as an audience. It brings us back into this little tale, and it makes us participants in that story. And it's exactly that's the effect that it literally had on the Ewoks, that because they felt some level of compassion or something for that story, they decide they want to help. We want to help in this story. We want to help you against in this fight. And I think that's
they want their own part of that story.
Exactly. So yeah, I just that scene is just so beautiful. And like when I was a kid, I never thought much of it. But as I've gotten older, whenever that scene pops up in Return of the Jedi, I really like it because I think it's just the music is, I love the music. I mean, John Williams is such a genius in that scene. Not just in that scene, let's be honest, obviously, but
he's a genius. Period. You know, pure genius. You know, yeah. Period.
It's just such a great little scene that does. It reminds us of our story so far. And reminds us that we've been participants in it. And I think even for the, you know, the time when that movie came out, remember, I mean, we didn't, it wasn't an internet age in 1983. It had been, you know, 6 years since A New Hope came out, you know, 3 years since Empire came out. This is a nice little retelling within the movie of that story to remind you of everything our characters have been through and how everything has kind of come to a head at this point. And it's just so great how well they bring us into that story. And I just can't say enough about how it transcends the use of language, because while 3PO is talking, he's not speaking English. And I just think That's so cool that we can get so invested in this little story without even knowing what he's saying.
Really is just magical.
Yeah.
So. There's no other real word for it. It's so magical. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's really funny how 3PO featured so prevalently in the top part of our lists.
Yeah.
He's got some good moments.
He does. He does. So I thought that'd be a nice way to end out the little list here.
I like it. I like it.
Excellent.
So,
Jason, before we go...
Yes,
we do have a matchup.
We do, and this matchup was given to us by one of our Larians, Michael Morris, who I do believe is one of the hosts of Cloud City Casinos on the Star Wars Report Second Airborne Division of podcasts. So
he sure is.
Be sure you to check that out. But he gave us this matchup, and it is going to be Jango Fett versus Kit Fisto.
Hey.
And we want to know who you think will win in a matchup of Jango Fett versus Kit Fisto. And, of course, if you want to weigh in on this matchup, where can they do that, Carl?
Well, if you'd like to weigh in this matchup or give us some of your favorite little moments in Star Wars that we might have missed tonight, because there's so many of them, we'd love to hear from you guys what you think are some of your favorite little moments. You can do that on Facebook, facebook.com/WampusLairPodcast. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/WampusLair, or shoot us an email at WampusLairPodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, that's all.
that's it.
And if you, I know we haven't put these on at the end of the last couple of episodes, I don't believe, so our bad on being a little behind, but we are up to episode 6 of the Empire Strikes Back radio drama, Way of the Jedi. Buckle up for some really bad Yoda.
Wait, I think we did that
one. Oh, we did do that one. That's right. Okay, my bad. Thanks. So we're up to episode 7, New Allies, New Enemies. Thank you, Jason. So New Allies, New Enemies, episode 7 of the Empire radio drama. So if you want to stick around for that at the end of the show, feel free to do so.
Yes. And folks, don't worry. We will get to our movie reviews. We still have Revenge of the Sith and Return of the Jedi to do and our countdown to The Force Awakens. We're just sort of in a weird little transitional period because I'm getting ready to start a new job, which means I have a new schedule, and we just have to figure out how we're going to get all that together and be able to sit down and record those commentaries for you. But we will get them done before The Force Awakens comes out.
Absolutely.
Even if we have to stay up, you know, super duper duper late. I'm kidding, because Carl is literally falling asleep because it's late for him there. No. On the East Coast. So
but we will say, we will definitely get the Revenge of the Sith commentary done this month, and then we have 2 weeks to do the Return of the Jedi one, which we'll want to do very excitedly. And of course, here's our can't wait for Force Awakens show. Of course, we'll get that to you before the movie.
Yes. Plus, probably the rest of the year will be filled with reaction to the movie itself.
Exactly.
Ours and then yours.
Right.
There's just sort of a snapshot of what we're looking at for the rest of the year.
Yeah. In case you wanted to know what was on our agenda, here you go.
Right.
Here's what's coming up in the Wampa's Lair.
Excellent. Right. Well, anything else, Carl, before we wrap up this episode?
No, I don't think so, except for maybe, again, just a huge thank you to everyone who's new to the Wampa's Lair. We've gotten quite a few new likes on Facebook in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So sorry I don't have all your names up on a queue. I'd be happy to read them off. But, you know, to anybody new to the podcast, welcome. Thank you for your time and your input into our show. And, you know, keep spreading the word, you know, everyone. We love to get new listeners. We love to get new feedback. Always a great thing. And if you're new, if you have a moment, maybe to just write a quick review for us in the iTunes store, that always helps out. Getting us up there more in the iTunes queue, if you will. So
yes.
So if you think we have something worthwhile to say, let others know, because we'd appreciate it.
Yes. So and it's a little bit of a shorter episode tonight, you know. Little moments, little episode.
Little moments, little episode.
Yeah, it works. But I think that wraps it up. This has been...
I think so too, Jason.
Yes.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I'm exiting now, Carl.
Sorry. Okay, gosh. Excuse me. But that wraps up this episode of the Wampus Lair Podcast. This has been episode 153, Top 5 Little Moments. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampus Lair.
Can you speak bocce?
Of course I can, sir. It's like a second language to me. I'm a
all right, shut up. I'll take this.
Shut up, sir.
Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back by Brian Daley. Based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Episode 7. New Allies, New Enemies. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there came a time of revolution, when rebels united to challenge a tyrannical empire. Now it is a dark time for the rebellion. Their fortress on the planet Hoth destroyed. The survivors of the Rebel Alliance are being hunted across the galaxy. Luke Skywalker, moved by the Force, has gone to the mysterious planet Dagobah to further his Jedi training. One Rebel starship, the Millennium Falcon, is now being pursued through an asteroid field by an Imperial Starfleet. Aboard her are the Princess Leia Organa, the droid C-3PO, Captain Han Solo, and his Wookiee first mate Chewbacca. Giant warships and swift TIE fighters close in for the capture at the command of Darth Vader. And on the bridge of the Dark Lord's flagship, other Predators are about to take up the hunt.
Lord Vader, we have assembled the bounty hunters as you requested.
Very good, Admiral. You bounty hunters, heed me well. There will be a substantial reward for the one who finds the Millennium Falcon. You may use any methods necessary, but I want those rebels alive. Is that clear? I wish to hear from you in particular, Boba Fett. I will tolerate no disintegrations.
It shall be as you command, Lord Vader.
Then go, all of you, and do not forget what I have said. Your lives depend upon it.
My Lord Vader.
Well, Admiral Piet.
My Lord, the rebels are within our grasp. Captain Nita and the Avenger have the Millennium Falcon under close pursuit.
I want that ship, Piet. Relay that to Captain Nita.
Yes, my lord.
Whatever the cost, I want the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, thank goodness we're coming out of the asteroid field.
The Imperials are still on us, and they're getting closer, Han.
Relax, sister. We're about to lose it. Ready for light speed, Chewie? Bye, Starfleet. We'll keep in touch. One, two, and three.
It's not fair.
No light speed?
It's not my fault.
Sir, we just lost the main rear deflector shield. One more direct hit on the Falcon stern and we're done for.
Chewie, bring her about. I said bring her about. I'm going to put all power to the forward shields.
Hold it. You're not going to attack them.
Inspiration is my specialty. Ready to land, Inquart, Chewie.
Landing call?
Sir, the odds of surviving a direct assault on an Imperial Star Destroyer... The Imperials have their deflectors at full power. They've cut their speed.
Yeah, they're getting cautious. Got any objections, Leia?
You've already been an Imperial prisoner, remember? Run, or fight, or do anything you want except surrender.
We're on a collision course!
No, not quite. Hang out the landing claw, Chewie. Kill the engines. Shut her down, Chewie. Lights out. The claw's secure.
Yes, but to the hull of an Imperial Star Destroyer. Our existence is nearly over.
No, we're on their upper works, see? Blind spot. We came in so fast, they lost track of us.
You picked a perfect place. I'll give you that, Flyboy.
Yeah. The Imperials will think we got to light speed somehow.
And now what do we do?
We wait it out. Trust me.
I knew it. I knew he'd say that.
Captain Nita has come aboard, Lord Vader.
Bring him before me at once.
Lord Vader, the Millennium Falcon has eluded us. We are not sure how. She's too small a vessel to carry a cloaking device.
Is that so, Captain?
I accept full responsibility and extend my deepest apology. Her crew was very resourceful. They
are minor criminals. Marginal outlaws. You are inept.
No, Lord
and
Vader!
And ineptitude is of no use to me or the Empire. Your apology is accepted, Captain Nita. Admiral Piet.
Yes, my lord.
Your report.
The Starfleet has completed its scan of the area and found nothing. If the Millennium Falcon went to light speed, she could be on the other side of the galaxy by now.
Alert all commands. Calculate every possible destination along their last known course.
Yes, my lord. We'll find that ship.
Do not fail me again, Admiral Piet.
Alert all commands. Deploy the fleet. Make preparations for light speed at once.
Use the force, young Skywalker. Remember the balance within and the balance without. Yes, feet in the sky. Good.
What now, Master?
Burdens you must learn to bear. The first will be your teacher. Hold still.
Hey,
perch on your big foot, I will. Steady. Do it, you can. Rely not on your muscles alone. To what you are doing, must you attune yourself? Good. Good. Now, that stone, into the air will you raise it with your mind alone. Feel the stone float in the air and concentrate.
What's the matter with...
1 minute before you decide to collapse.
But I didn't... Master, R2's trying to tell us something.
Into the marshes, your fighter! Sinking! Have you no ears?
My ship? Oh no, R2, come on! We gotta save her, hurry! No... Oh, no, look at that. There it goes. We're never going to get the ship out of there now, R2.
Never? So impossible, is it? So certain are you? Young Skywalker, always with you, it cannot be done. If you wish to lift it out, do so.
Master, raising stones into the air is one thing. Raising my fighter out of the swamp, that's totally different.
No! No different. Only different. In your mind. Unlearn. You must unlearn what you have learned before.
But this is so much more...
Do it. Raise it. Bring it here to the shore.
All right. I'll give it a try.
No. Do or do not. There is no try. Now. Focus.
Yes.
Feel the ship.
The ship.
Concentrate. Open yourself to the force.
It's so heavy. I'm losing. Can't hold it up. Master, the fighter's too big.
Size matters not. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you?
Of course not, but I never meant that you
were... And well, you should not. For my ally is the Force, and a powerful ally it is.
I know that. I'm trying to know.
Life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we. See, this arm of yours. We are not this crude matter, not flesh and bone. You must feel the Force around you, here, between you, me, this tree, that rock, everywhere. Yes, even between the land and your ship.
Master, I truly wish I could raise it, but you want the impossible.
Told you, did I not? All things are subordinate to the Force. Now see. Bigger than the stone are you? Smaller than the ship am I?
What?
What is that? To the Force.
The ship! You're doing it!
Did I not? The land and the ship. Ashore it comes, because it will. And so, it is here.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail.
What does it mean, hon?
Means they're getting ready to move into hyperspace. It's just what we've been waiting for.
Oh, no.
Chewie, go aft and stand by the manual release for the landing crew.
Your Highness, I must point out that surrender is a perfectly acceptable alternative in extreme Leia. Circumstances. The Empire may be gracious enough to reconsider its attitude and be
Sorry, 3PO.
Ah, the nap will do him good. He's been through a lot.
What do you have in mind for our next move, James?
Well, if the fleet follows standard Imperial procedure, they'll dump their garbage before they go to light speed. And then we just let loose and float away?
With the rest of the garbage? Well, well. You're actually thinking instead of reacting. What do we do then?
Then we gotta find ourselves a safe port somewhere. You got any ideas?
Where are we?
I know it, system. Let's see what the data banks say.
I know it, system. There's not very much around here.
No. Well, wait.
I'm getting pretty good at that.
Lando.
Lando system?
Lando's not a system, he's a man. Lando Calrissian. He's a card player, a gambler, a scoundrel. You'd like him.
Oh, thanks.
He's on the planet Bespin. That's pretty far from here, but I think we can make it on sublight engines.
What does that say? Cloud City? It's a mining colony?
Yeah, Tabana gas mine. Floating refinery suspended in the atmosphere.
How'd one of your friends get into an honest line of work?
Lando conned somebody out of Cloud City. We go back a long way, Lando and me.
Can you trust this Lando?
Of course not.
No, of course not.
But he's got no love for the Empire.
Look, they're unloading their junk.
Hey, Chewie, here we go. Stand by the claw.
Well, will you look at that? Just like you said.
Looks like a zero-gravity scrapyard, doesn't it? Wish the taxpayers could see this. Detach the claw, partner.
It's working. What do you know? You do have your moments, hon.
Clean living and a pure heart triumph again.
The fleet's accelerating.
Into hyperspace. And good riddance to it.
Now, if our luck will just hold out, we can...
Quit that kind of talk. It's a piece of cake from here on in. We hit Bespin, Lando fixes the Falcon, and we head for the rendezvous. Stand by, Chewie.
At least I get to find out if it's true.
If what's true?
All that stuff about honor among thieves.
Why don't you buckle in and give it a rest?
Lift you from the ground to your concentration hold. Ten. Head down. Feet in the air. Your control, remember.
Turn.
Well done. No limits are there to one who reaches out to the Force. Your equipment there. Raise that box.
There up.
Yes, effort must there be, but within you is the power.
Hold still, R2. You go. No, don't worry, I won't let you fall.
Be serene. There is your strength. Through the Force, things will you see. Other places, the future, the past, old friends. It's long gone.
But how will I know? On? Leia? No, no!
Control. You must learn control. You do not concentrate.
I saw a city in the clouds. A floating city.
Friends have you there?
Yes, Han and Leia and the others. They were in pain.
It is the future, you see.
Future? Will they die? Please, Master, I have to know.
Difficult to tell. Always in motion is the future.
But I've got to go to them.
You act in haste? Oh, come, have you lost all wisdom?
I can't just let them be killed.
Decide you must how to serve their best. If you leave now, help them you could. But you would destroy all for which they have fought and suffered.
But, all right. I believe you, Master. But I feel as though I'm being torn in two.
Millennium Falcon, this is Cloud City Control. You will not deviate from your present course. Our interceptors will escort you for a landing. There will be no further warning shots the next time we'll fire for effect.
Rather touchy, aren't they?
Han, I thought you were friends with this Lando person.
Be quiet, Chewie. It was a long time ago. I'm sure Lando's forgotten all about that by now.
All about what? What are you getting us into?
Nothing.
There, just as I thought, we're in dreadful peril once again.
You really gotta do something about your morale problem, 3PO.
Solo, if you don't level with me right this second, I am going
to... misunderstanding me and Lando had a while back.
Millennium Falcon, this is Cloud City Control. You're cleared for landing on platform 327.
See? Nothing to worry about.
Be advised, you are being tracked by our weapon systems.
Who's worried, huh?
I, for one, I must confess.
There's Cloud City.
I'll give you this much. It's beautiful.
But... what holds it up? Are you certain it's safe?
Chewie says not to forget, you still got that cutoff switch on your back, 3PO.
Oh.
Okay, there's the landing platform.
waited inside the Falcon, Princess Leia. There's no one here to meet us. It seems rather ominous.
I don't like it either, Han.
Well, what would you like, Your Highness?
Perhaps it will be all right. After all, they did permit us to land.
Lots of predators hunt that way, 3PO.
Don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
Every time he employs that phrase, my circuitry becomes erratic. Ooh. Look over there.
Yeah, it's Lando.
All those surly gentlemen with the guns.
Oh, dear, this is going to be a congenial reunion, isn't it?
Right. Hugs and kisses.
So, Han Solo, it is you.
See? My friend. Chewie, your eyes open.
You slimy, double-crossing, no-good swindler. Uh-oh. Guards, cover them!
We're done.
Been a long time, Lando.
Solo, you've got a lot of guts coming to Cloud City after what you've pulled on me.
Who? Me?
You might as well put up your fist now. I'm gonna knock you down either way.
No, hey!
I just wanted to see if you can still duck as fast as you used to. How you doing, you old pirate? Where you been?
He seems very friendly, doesn't he, Your Highness?
Well, here and there, business as usual.
Nothing honest?
Yes, 3PO. Very friendly.
Of course not. Profit margin's too low.
And what are you two doing here?
Repairs to the Falcon. I thought you could help me out, Lando.
What have you two lunatics done to my ship?
Your ship? Hey, you lost her to me, fair and square.
A lucky day for you. Only thing you ever did right. And how you been, Chewbacca? You still hanging around with this loser?
Hello. What do we have here? What a charming young lady.
Lando, this is...
Welcome, my dear. I'm Lando Calrissian, administrator of this facility. And who might you be?
I'm Leia. How do you do?
And welcome, Leia. You have definitely improved my day.
All right, you old smooth.
Come in, all of you.
Thanks. Come on, Leia. I knew we could count on you, Lando.
Hello, Administrator Calrissian. I am C-3PO, Human Cyborg Relations. My entire facilities are...
Yeah. Come on along, Chewbacca. Good. Leia, you'll have to tell me what these two did to the prettiest starship that ever graced the sky.
Well, really, sometimes humans can be so insensitive. What a remarkable... Less. So many life forms, not automata.
What's wrong with the Falcon, man?
Hyperdrive. Slow down twice.
That's all no problem. I'll get my people to work on it right away.
Thanks, Lando. That's one I owe you.
My pleasure. You know, Leia, that ship saved my life any number of times.
She has a habit of doing that sort of thing.
It's the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy.
It's a gas mine. Still paying off for you?
Oh, not as well as I'd like. We're a small outpost here by Imperial standards and not very self-sufficient.
You seem to be prospering.
I've had supply problems of every kind. I've had labor difficulties. I've been... What's so funny, man?
You. Listen to you. You sound like a businessman, a responsible leader.
Leia, don't you laugh at me, too.
I won't, Administrator Calrissian.
We're going to have to get you used to my first name. Come, I'll show you to your quarters. Yeah, it's true. I am responsible these days.
How unfortunate for you.
It's a price you pay for being successful this way.
This is so interesting. Oh, dear, where did they go? Dear, what shall I do now? Another relations droid. Oh, how nice to see a familiar face. Hello.
Arbiru in Childar.
How rude. Obviously an inferior design. Well, oh, what's this? A technical facility. How marvelous. Why, that sounds like an R2 unit in there. I wonder. Hello, is anyone there?
You. Who are you?
Oh, my. I'm terribly sorry, sir. I didn't mean to intrude. I'll just go on my way.
Come back here,
no,
you.
No, please, don't get up.
Hold still.
Oh, wait. Oh, this is all a terrible misunderstanding. I've been shot.
All right, R2, let's see how the engines sound. Not bad, considering she was underwater. Okay, shut them down.
You are being impulsive, unthinking. You must not go.
But they'll die if I don't.
You don't know that for certain, Luke.
Then?
Even Yoda cannot see their fate there in Cloud City.
But I can help them. I feel the Force.
But you cannot control it. This is a dangerous time for you, Luke, when you will be tempted by the dark side of the Force.
Yes, to Obi-Wan, you listen, Luke.
Master, I promise to return and finish what I've begun. You have my word.
It is you and your abilities the Emperor wants. That is why your friends are made to suffer.
That is why I have to go.
Luke, I don't want to lose you to the Emperor the way I lost Vader.
You won't, Ben.
Stopped they must be. On this all depends.
If you choose to face Vader, you will do it alone. I cannot interfere.
I understand. R2, fire up the converters.
Luke, don't give in to hate. That leads to the dark side.
Strong is Vader. Mind what you have learned, youngster. Save you it can.
I will, Master. And I'll return. I promise. You'll see.
Obi-Wan, told you I did. Reckless is he. And now, matters are even worse than before.
That boy is our last hope.
No, there is another.
Luke Skywalker is drawn towards a future that no Jedi Master, Dark Lord, or Emperor can predict or control. And in Cloud City are the man to whom he owes his life, the woman whose image has led him to tragedy and triumph, and the enemy who stands poised for a final battle. Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back by Brian Daley, based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Featured in the cast were Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, Anthony Daniels as C-3PO, Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian, Perry King as Han Solo, John Lithgow as Yoda, Brock Peters as Darth Vader, and Anne Sachs as Princess Leia. Also heard were Bernard Behrens, Nicholas Kepros, Stephen Markle, Jeffrey Pearson, David Rashi, Alan Rosenberg, and Jay Sanders. This is Ken Hiller. Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back was directed by John Madden with Tom Vagley. Sound design for Lucasfilm by Ben Burt. Music by John Williams. Casting and production coordination by Mel Saar. The executive producer was John Boss. Post-production was realized at Studio M in St. Paul on the 3M Digital Mastering System by Tom Vagley. Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back was produced by National Public Radio in association with KUSC-FM Los Angeles, with the cooperation of Lucasfilm Limited.